Like many of you, I'm sure, at one point or another, I, on my own ecclesiastical journey from Catholic church as a kid, later in life, attending congregational church, later in life, leading congregational churches to now, no matter where I was on that journey, Easter would arrive, and I would, of course, feel that parts of this story are a bit of a hard pill to swallow. The details. This man named Jesus, who was a rabble-rouser, who taught radical love, inclusion, and he was what I would call the original social justice advocate. He was a Jewish preacher in first century Judea, but he became so popular that he was a threat to the Roman power structure of the time. So they, of course, have to get rid of him. And the way they did that at that point in time was very often by crucifixion. So death by crucifixion publicly. He was executed by the Roman Empire. The story of Easter begins with what Jesus' followers experienced after he died. His body was shrouded, as the story goes, and put in a cave that was sealed with a boulder. And 3 days later, when his friends went to go retrieve the body, they discovered that it wasn't there. But there was some sort of ghostly figure there hanging around near the cave. And one of the Marys, there were two there that morning, Mary Magdalene, who was a very good friend of Jesus's, mistakes him for the gardener, which I think is actually a little funny. Thinks that he might be the gardener. But when he tells her to go tell the others what has happened, she then recognizes who he is and has sort of an awakening. In those days after his death, Jesus appeared to his followers, people who knew him very well, not as a ghostly idea, but as someone they could actually recognize and speak with, though clearly in some kind of transformed way. Accounts of the time describe confusion and fear, but also at the same time a growing sense that something extraordinary had happened. And that's how the story kind of rolls out. His friends come to understand who he is by his mannerisms, by his wounds, though something fundamental has changed about him. Those encounters that his friends and followers had with him during those days shifted things in a very profound way for his people. Because what had looked like a very brutal ending became a story about life continuing beyond death, about love outlasting violence, and about a message of justice that could not be silenced even by death. So, the details are one part of the story, but it's really the metaphors that matter to everyone. Here are a couple of them. Death does not have the final say. Life somehow continues. We don't really know. We don't have a reporter on that. We have some ideas, but we don't really know. But death doesn't have the final say. Something continues after the body changes. Darkness will come into all of our lives in one way or another, but so will the light at some point. The thing I have come to love so much about the Easter story is that it doesn't make any difference whether or not you believe the details of the story. That's kind of beside the point. Because the story is filled with important metaphors and it creates a roadmap for us about how we should live. And if there's anything that we need in order to get through this difficult life, it is a roadmap of how to live. The Easter story conveys some very important truths about renewal, about transformation, and about life continuing on after loss. The crucifixion, going back a little bit as a metaphor, reminds us of those times when we're holding on to something that no longer serves us. We are holding on to something that no longer serves us. We have those times in life where something in us has got to give way because life seems to be pressing us towards some kind of new threshold. So the idea of the crucifixion gives us an opportunity to ponder what happens when the structures of our lives actually fall away. What happens when the identity that we may have relied on is no longer there? What happens when someone we love dies or leaves? When our aging bodies won't allow us to do the things we love to do? What happens? What happens when the friendship fades? When the younger people get the jobs? When the house is empty? What happens? Easter asks every one of us to practice radical acceptance of the transformative powers of life's inevitable changes. Easter does not bring back the same life in the same form. The story is clear about that. The body is gone, the life as it was previously is over, but clearly something essential remains. Some essential core in the Easter story, the story of the life of this man named Jesus, some essential core has not been altered. Each of us in our lives will face many moments, not just one, where something in our life comes to an end. Each of us will have to let go of parts of ourselves that once defined us. Each of us will experience a loss that feels practically complete. During those challenging times, if the thing that we deemed essential is tied to what has fallen away, then we are allowing loss to define the whole experience. Except that it's never the whole experience. It is never the whole experience. If we can understand that something essential continues, something fundamental, something inherent remains active and present within us, even after some part of our lives, the form has changed, then we are living inside the meaning of Easter. This week, I just happened to find myself with an interesting diagnosis. I've been limping for 3 weeks, and I discovered through x-rays that I have what is called acute arthritis in my ankle as a result of an accident I was in decades ago. I thought, of course, that this was just going to be something that would get better and life would go on, but now I know that I have to learn how to manage the situation. It's not going to go away. It is the way life is going to be. I found myself at first looking around at everyone in the world who could walk a regular walk, and I started to feel really sorry for myself. I also felt a sense of deep regret that I didn't appreciate how easy it was to walk without pain, to run, to skip, to ice skate, to do all the things that I love to do. I looked back and I thought, wow, I never once thought it won't be this way for the rest of my life. So I have had in a very short time, and thank you, Easter, to dig very deep to remember that I am still here. I am still here. The body has changed, and if we live long enough, this happens to every one of us, we know it all too well. The body changes sometimes in a permanent way, but now it's up to me to bring forward the other aspects of myself that are unchanged, to remember who I am, which I call the soul of me, the part that is going to remain no matter what, and to remember what I came here to accomplish. I don't necessarily need to walk well to accomplish the things that I came here to accomplish, because stuff is going to fall away from me for the rest of my life. It has been falling away from me for my entire life, and I'm sure it's true of all of us. Starting when we're young, moving through every stage of life, people leave, people die, our dreams that we held don't come true. We didn't get into the college we dreamed of getting into. We didn't get the job. Things are always, always falling away. I'm almost to the point where I can be grateful for this change, but I'm not there quite yet. However, I am working on it. I'm working on it because I know that if I talk about it, especially up here on a Sunday morning, I have got to learn how to live it. That's the deal. If we talk about it, we have to live it. So here's my opportunity. You can see this same dynamic in the way that love continues after someone dies. And I would imagine some of you have had experiences like this too. The relationship you had to that person, a physical relationship, changes, but the connection remains. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about. Something very important is still alive in that relationship and with the person who's no longer in the body. A 99-year-old dear friend of mine named Mark died on Friday, and the next day in the middle of the afternoon, it was very quiet in my house, and suddenly I heard a light bulb outside drop out of its socket and crash, and then I heard all this noise in the kitchen, and I was like, who the heck is here? Because I knew where Sperry was, but, and I really started yelling my partner's name. I was like, are you here? Are you home? And there was no one in the house. So I decided to believe that it was my dear friend Mark coming to visit me to let me know that he's doing okay. There is a steadiness that remains underneath the changing conditions of life. Easter tells us this story. And I would say, too, that in many ways, Easter is inviting us to shift our center of gravity away from all of the things around us and our attachments to them and to the essential core of existence. I call this the soul, the connectivity that I have to the divine. Doesn't matter what you call it. I call it the soul. It remains no matter what. With this as an anchoring force, we can trust that life will always continue beyond the many changing forms of our days. It is about trusting that what is most essential in us and in those that we love remains active, even as everything around us is constantly shifting. And it's also about allowing the parts of us that need to fall away to fall away, so that what is real can be revealed and hopefully more clearly lived. That is the movement, in essence, from crucifixion to resurrection. That's the story. And that is what we're actually talking about on Easter morning. Allowing the parts of us that need to fall away, so that what is real can be revealed. Every one of us, I'm willing to bet, has also been in that cave, thinking life cannot possibly continue given what I'm facing right now. There's no way. But then, most of the time, somehow miraculously, it does. For some of us, the cave becomes a very powerful, transformative experience. It was for me in 2011 when I was going through divorce and I was drinking a lot to deal with that pain. I wanted very much to run away from myself, and my vehicle of choice during that time was a very robust Cabernet. The darkness closed in around me slowly until one day a dear friend arrived and took me by the hand and compassionately led me to sobriety. I have not had a drink since, and my life has been profoundly transformed as a result. I died during that time to one way of being, and I was reborn a different, I would say hopefully better person, who now has the opportunity to help others who are on that pathway. There is always an opportunity in what appears to be defeat. There is meaning and potential embedded in all of our darkest hours. Easter begins in our own lives when we recognize that something is not working or is no longer true. Perhaps the identities we build, the ways we try to secure ourselves, the patterns that organize our lives, they might carry us for a time and then they wear out. The story, no doubt, of who Jesus was matters very much. He was a Jewish preacher, a social activist who demanded justice for all, no matter what their ethnic background, no matter what their economic status. In his fight for human rights and social justice, he ran afoul of very powerful political figures and religious leaders in a land that was at the time dominated by the Roman Empire. He was arrested on trumped-up charges, and then he was sentenced to death in a trial that proceeded without any sense of true justice. He was publicly executed to serve as an example to anyone else that they had better just sit down, shut up, and toe the Roman line. And when several of his closest associates went to claim his body for burial, it was gone. Those are the details. A man who cared so much for humanity, who wanted so desperately to make the world a better place, to write a new story about love, that he was willing to die for his beliefs. Metaphorically, the Easter story is rich with spiritual teachings. It is the story of what matters most, what continues after the fall. It is the story of the light returning after the darkness has held us in her grip. It is the story of springtime after a long winter. And it is a story that is embedded in every single one of us, of grace and renewal, of having the courage to roll away the stone and begin again and again and again. Easter is a beautiful reminder that there exists in the human soul a fortitude that no death can snuff out. The darkness will come, but the light will too. And things will begin to take shape in a new way. That is what we celebrate at Easter.